I'm very quiet. Good morning.
Good morning.
For those of you who read your service sheets and the website, you got me this morning, but I thought I'd bring along with me a guest speaker. I didn't have a lot of choice in the matter, to be honest, but there we go. So Elaine will be preaching this morning and I'm going to be leading for you. But let's get the legal bits out of the way straight away, okay? So we've got some bans of marriage to read out. So I published the bans of marriage between Jack Christopher Ballinger, single of the parish of St. Luke's Maidenhead, but also with a qualifying connection to this parish, and Annie Louise Maxted, single also of St. Luke's Maidenhead, but with a qualifying connection to this parish. These bans are for the second time of asking. If any of you know any reason why these two persons may not be legally married, you are to declare it now, before I sign it. As I said before, if somebody ever objected, I haven't got a clue what I would do, but there we go. It doesn't tell me in the book what to do there. Okay, let's start ourselves with our first hymn this morning. Rejoice that the Lord is King, 482. I did forget there just to pray for Tiger Group, so let's just pray for them as I go out. Father, thank you for Tiger Group. Thank you for its leaders, for those children. And Father, we ask you to bless them and keep them safe as they cross that road. We pray too, Lord, that what they receive from the leader today, they may see the true love of God that's there, Lord. We just thank you for that. Amen.
Amen.
top of our service sheets, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so may grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
Amen.
Let's sit or kneel for our prayers. And we say together, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. And our Easter invitation for confession. Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed for us. Let us therefore rejoice by putting away all malice and evil and confessing our sins with a sincere and true heart. And we say our confession together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And our colleague for Easter 7, which will be the last Easter 7 that we have this time for about another 5 years. O God, the King of glory, you've exalted your only Son, Jesus Christ, with great triumph to your kingdom in heaven. Beseech you to leave us, not comfortless, but send your Holy Spirit to strengthen us and exalt us to the place where our Saviour Christ has gone before, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. So we've got Jean and Marie doing our readings.
The first reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, He was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is taken from Peter's first letter to the church, chapters 4 and 5, beginning to read at chapter 4, verse 9, 12. "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all graces, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you. So it's time now for our next hymn, 129, "God Forgive My Sin," 129.
Thank you. the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee. Since thou hast given him power over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I glorified thee on earth, having accomplished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, Father, glorify thou me in thy own presence, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was made. I have manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now they know that everything that thou hast given me is from thee, for I have given them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to thee. Holy Father, keep them in thy name, which thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Some words from the song we just sang. All power is given in Jesus' name, in earth and heaven, in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name I come to you to share his power, as he told me to. May my words be in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do sit down. If you've ever been on a car journey with children, you'll be very aware of the persistent question, are we nearly there yet? Sometimes before we've even gone more than a mile. That's certainly been our experience over the years, when we've travelled from High Wycombe to Yorkshire to visit family. And as we got closer to our destination, there were certain signs which told the children that we were indeed nearly there. The narrow hilly lane, with lots of wee moments up and down the hills. The first sight of the sea and Scarborough Castle from the top of the hill. This morning I want to talk about that question, are we nearly there yet? With regards to the disciples in the period between Easter and Pentecost, and with regards to ourselves here in 2023. I think the answer is yes and no. I have to say that preparing this sermon has had quite an effect on me. It's still very much a work in progress. You've got what you've got now. And I've leaned very heavily on Bishop Tom Wright's thoughts as I've prepared. When we read the Old Testament, we see plenty of instances of people who would be asking that question, are we nearly there yet? The Israelites waiting to be freed from slavery in Egypt. David waiting to become king. The Israelites 70 years in Babylon. The prophets for hundreds of years pointing towards the coming of a Messiah. In his lifetime, Jesus was recognized by many as the fulfillment of those prophecies. He was the Messiah, the one who would rescue the kingdom of Israel from the oppressive Roman rulers. But how would he do that? The disciples were obviously expecting an earthly king who would overturn the Romans. Remember, James and John's mum came and asked for her sons to be placed at Jesus' right and left when he became ruler. But of course, for that sense, they were all going to be disappointed. Jesus was killed. And even after the resurrection, The disciples had the same expectation when they asked whether this was the time when he would bring in his kingdom. Are we at this time, i.e. now, going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They must have been so confused. First, he was alive and doing all the wonderful things that proved he was the Messiah. Then he was killed and their hopes were dashed. Then he was alive again, but not quite in the same way. He could eat and drink and communicate as usual, but he could also appear and disappear at will, even from a locked room. And now he's telling them to wait. For what? I really like that account of the resurrected Jesus appearing to the disciples by the lake, especially the verse that shows Peter's frustration and sense of failure at this whole situation. I'm going fishing. And you can imagine, what he's really saying is, let's get back to work. The last 3 years have been a waste of time. I've got a wife and family to feed. So what is going on? What and where, I want to ask, is the kingdom of God? Last Thursday, we celebrated the Ascension, when Jesus said his final earthly farewells and returned to his Father in heaven. So where do we think heaven is? Certainly from the first hymn we sang this morning and from some words in the Bible, it feels like it might be up there somewhere, above the clouds. Is it the place where we'll go when we die, if we're good enough? Is it a separate entity in the spiritual world where God lives? The word ascension implies going up, doesn't it? Is heaven a glorious, isolated kingdom somewhere above the clouds? And this is where my hard work and continuing thought and prayer comes in, because Bishop Tom Wright says his view is that Jesus' death and resurrection transformed the disciples' dream of the kingdom. Jesus came to renew and restore the kingdom, but not in the way they were expecting. This was to be a different kind of kingdom, embracing not just the Jews, but the whole of humanity. And because of this, Tom Wright says that Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension is not a preparation for a heaven which is a separate place where God the Father reigns, but it's the transformation of this world, bringing it under heavenly rule. Not in the future, but here and now. Perhaps now you can understand why it's still a work in progress. Next Sunday, we celebrate Pentecost, remembering the time when the disciples' waiting was over and they received the power of the Holy Spirit, which enabled those one-time frightened, frustrated men and women to be bold in sharing their experiences of Jesus and their conviction that he was God in human form, with the reality of the resurrection and the ascension bringing about the melding, that joining together of earth and heaven. Tom Wright says that death worked backwards in the resurrection. Heaven and earth have become two interlocking spheres of God's reality. From the ascension onwards, the story of Jesus' followers takes place in both dimensions. The gift of the Holy Spirit is the direct result of the ascension. And Pentecost was the event when God transformed the earth with the power of heaven, with the promise that one day in the future, Jesus will return and fully unite those two dimensions. So we're in the in-between time, aren't we? In the waiting time. And there are signs, if we can see them, that there is some transformation taking place. To return to the car journey analogy, and that question, are we nearly there yet? Of course, even after 2,000 years, we're not yet there. But the signs of the final destination are there. We're still waiting and expecting, but the Holy Spirit The powerful Holy Spirit, the third dimension of God, is busy working through Jesus' followers. That's us. We are his followers here and now. So how does God, through the Holy Spirit, manifest himself in our lives? How much do we consciously acknowledge his presence and his power? I think it's really important that we don't leave him at the door when we leave church. That Holy Spirit power is available for us as it was for the disciples, and our prayer and worship influence our lives, not just in church, but every day, personally and relationally. Last week's gospel reading from John 14 reminds us that Jesus said, "You know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." So I think there's, well, certainly a lot for me to ponder, and hopefully a lot for you to ponder as well today. And I just want to finally give some words from the 1 Peter reading for today. I have chosen a few and missed a few out. I'm not reading it all again. But this is the encouraging bit. The Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. My prayer is that as we come to the Pentecost celebrations next Sunday, we will all be open to renewing that gift of Holy Spirit power in our lives. Amen.
Amen. So it's time now for our prayers. And we've got Jean again. You're running him with this morning, Jean.
Let us pray to our Heavenly Father. Dear Father, as we wait for the return of our risen and ascended Lord Jesus, may we be patient, remaining deep in faith and inspired by your Holy Spirit, not standing around looking up in the sky, but working hard to share the gospel so that others will be able to share in your great blessings. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving Father, we thank you for the way Jesus called his disciples friends, and we delight in the privilege of sharing that relationship. As friends of Jesus gathered here today, make us more of what that friendship means, that we are valued, trusted, even enjoyed for who we are, but also that we need to spend time with you, that we must not be too busy to pray, to loiter with you at odd points through the day. Help us not to miss the joy of your friendship. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Gracious Father, we hold up before you those who gently care for the sick and wait with the dying, those who gently enrich young minds and open doors of learning and discovery to others, those who gently care for the poor and bring hope to the starving, those who gently but firmly remind us to protect the earth and to remember to whom it belongs. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Father God, we pray for all who are experiencing the terror of war, floods, famine, and drought, and we pray for Christian communities being persecuted for their faith. May you give protection, comfort, justice, education, resources and solution to where it is needed. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear.
Gracious Father, we thank you for Charles our King and Camilla our Queen, that they remain with good health and reign with endurance, wisdom and grace. We pray for discernment and wisdom for our government. We pray for strength and health for our ministry team, Graham, David and Mary. And thank you for Derek, Elaine and Chris during our interregnum. We thank you that very soon we will be joined by Samuel, our new vicar, and his wife Linnea. May you bless them as they make their move from Norfolk to Penn and Tyler's Green, and may their ministry be fruitful and joyful. We ask for love and health for our families and friends, and we ask for blessings for those noted on our pew sheet today. Hugo Charles Cawthorne and his family on the occasion of his baptism, Peter Saxon Stuart Charlton, Mervyn Shepherdley, Christine Nisbet, Amanda and Caden. And in a moment of silence, we bring before you those known to us who also need our blessings, your blessings. Lord, in your mercy. Ascended Lord, as we look ahead at the coming week, we pray that in every part of our lives, at work, at play, in our relationships with our money, our time and our temptations, you will be Lord. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Jean. It's now time to reaffirm our faith in the words of the Creed, so please stand. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting. Amen. As we've got Tiger Club, we're going to do the piece at the end. So our next hymn is hymn number 9, All Hail the Power, hymn number 9.
Thank you.
this morning I'm going to be using Eucharistic Prayer 5 on page 15. So that's Prayer 5 on page 15. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
And so we sit or kneel for our prayers. It is always right to give you thanks, God our Creator, loving and faithful, holy and strong. You made us and the whole universe and filled your world with life. You sent your Son to live among us, Jesus our Saviour, Mary's child. He suffered on the cross. He died to save us from our sins. He rose in glory from the dead. You sent your Spirit, bring new life to the world, and clothe us with power from on high. And so we join the angels to celebrate and say together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Father, on the night before he died, Jesus shared a meal with his friends. He took the bread and thanked you. He broke it and gave to them, saying, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this to remember me. After the meal, Jesus took the cup of wine. He thanked you and gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood, the new promise of God's unfailing love. Do this to remember me. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Father, as we bring this bread and this wine, remember his death and resurrection, send your Holy Spirit that we who share these gifts may be fed by Christ's body and his blood. Pour out your Spirit on us that we may love one another, work for the healing of the earth, and share the good news of Jesus as we wait for his coming in glory. For honour and praise belong to you, Father, with Jesus your Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. And so we say together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith and with thanksgiving. The body of Christ keep you in everlasting life. The body of Christ keep you in everlasting life. Body of Christ, keep you in everlasting life. And so we say together our prayer after communion. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Wow, got a full house this morning, haven't we?
Yeah, we have.
Well done, that's good. Now I'm going to ask you, why have you got a bottle, is the question I'm going to ask you this morning. Come on, why have you got a bottle?
We had Pepsi Max.
You have Pepsi Mac?
Yeah.
Which is why you're all hyper.
And then we put Mentos in it.
Mentos.
Make an explosion.
We did that because it was like the Coke was like all our possibilities and the talents that we have, and then the Mentos were like made to represent the Holy Spirit.
And did the ready fizz?
Yeah.
Yeah, got the top.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It wasn't really a big explosion.
It was quite.
Well, I don't, not, to be fair, I don't, not really, because we want to keep that place over there, you know, one piece. We can. That's good.
Yeah. I bet. We did some other things as well.
Other things as well.
Yeah.
So you had an explosion,
yeah.
You had
yeah.
Coke,
yeah.
Come on. So, what else did you do?
We drew, we like played this game.
Come on, we can't hear you. Don't be shy, okay?
We played this game where we read out a clue and we had to like,
go.
So the clues were like, where like, you make dinner and stuff, and that's where the clues are hidden.
And there was one clue.
They spell out, and then it's loads of different words, and it like, spells out.
Yeah,
it was spelled out like that.
I think you had a better time than we had.
Oh.
Oh, sorry.
Albert
nothing
wants
personal.
To say. Derek, Albert wants to say something.
One clue. Oh, very, very
the two of you are getting too big now. Well, I can't look down at you.
Yeah. One thing that was very funny was there's a clue that said pass the biscuits, and all I did was go to the sanctuary. Coffee room, I got a plate of biscuits.
There you go.
Well done.
Well done. I think a round of applause for explosions and for biscuits and yes. Right. Are we ready to do the piece?
Yeah.
Who's good at reading?
I'll do it.
I'll do it. No, you did it last time I was here.
Yeah.
Go away.
Okay.
Okay, so. Actually, what I was going to say, all right? I'm going to say that bit. No, you can say it. Come on.
All of it.
Do the lot.
The risen Christ came and stood among his disciples and said, peace be with you. Then were they glad that they saw the Lord. Alleluia. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
A bit louder.
And also with you.
So remain here, do you want to clear off down the back end? Give it the back end. Thank you, Oliver. Can we just give a round of applause, I think, to the leaders as well. I can't remember Sunday school when I was there being as exciting as that with explosions and things, but there we go. So let's do our final hymn this morning, hymn number 4, At the Name of Jesus, hymn 32.
Every time I'm facing King of Glory.
Let's just bow our heads for the blessing. And so may the love of the Lord Jesus draw you to himself. May the power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service. And may the joy of the Lord Jesus fill your hearts. And so may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, with you and your families, those whom you prayed for, and those whom you love, this day and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen.